And that's the thing that we'd like to talk about today, or this evening, is God's goodness to us. Recently, we had a speaker who challenged us to look at the first chapter of Ephesians and to just to look for the good things that God has given us. And there are many more that we could cover tonight, but we would like to just kind of highlight some of the blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings that are pointed out to us in the first chapter of Ephesians. And of course, many more in the later chapters. But it's a great review. And so for all who are believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, this is your time just to sit back, relax, and enjoy the good things that God has done for us, as we have a quick reminder. And if there are any here who are not believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, then we'd ask that you would seriously consider what you're missing out on. It's tremendous. And although it's great now, it shall be much greater when the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ comes back in power, comes back to take his bride home to be with him. So we have many blessings now. One of my favorite psalms, and of course they change every time I read another psalm, but one of them is Psalm 103 that starts out, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And there are so many benefits that we have in God. Benefits now, and benefits that shall be for all of eternity. So we just, I'll read this chapter. As someone said recently, never apologize for spending time reading God's Word, because that's far more important than whatever man would say. And so we have this privilege of reading publicly God's Holy Word. And so we'll read the first chapter of Ephesians. I am reading from the New King James Version. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of the grace by which he made us accepted in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of the salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Far more blessings than we deserve, far more blessings than we can look at in this time, but we do want to just kind of highlight a few of these great blessings that we have. The first two verses we're going to kind of skip over, but just to think that in them we are saints and that we have peace with God. Rebellious sinners, hell-deserving sinners, have peace with God. The peace of God and peace with God, far greater than we deserve. But verse 3 kind of sums up the rest of the chapter. It also is a beginning of this long list of blessings that we have. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So these blessings that we're talking about are not, as some you may hear on television or radio or other places who preach this name it, claim it. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about necessarily having everything we would desire from our God. We might not get those red shoes that we want, or we may have to suffer with some physical ailment. But in the heavenly places, we have all the blessings that we could ever possibly think about, greater than anything that we deserve. So maybe someone on earth will say, well, you know, I'm kind of missing out. I don't have all these blessings. But you do if you're a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. You have them. You may not fully appreciate it, may not even realize it at times, but how rich we are, how greatly we have been blessed by our God and by our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and who gave himself for us. So we have much to give our thanks for, much to appreciate. They may not be material blessings, but they may be. But they definitely are spiritual blessings in heavenly places, which is far greater than anything that we could ask for here on earth. Verse 4 is one that's far beyond my ability to comprehend, but I'll just read this again. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before him in love. Just think that God, who knows all, who is omniscient, who is all presence, omnipresent, who has all of these attributes that we talk about, that he, before the foundation of the world, knew each one in this room and says, I've got a plan that even though they are rebellious, even though they're going to turn from me, even though they will, like Peter, deny me. Even though they are sinners, I want them. And he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. I'm not going to ever try to explain it. I remember many years ago hearing Tom give us the explanation of the two sides of the being chosen and man's responsibility. And they're both in Scripture very plain. Can't understand it. Why would he choose me? Don't know. But I appreciate it. And the fact that I've accepted him, he has made it possible for me to be in this position. So I don't try to understand it. Just take it and appreciate it. Verse 5, having predestinated us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Having predestinated us and adopted us as sons. Now, it's one thing to be a son that was born into the family, but one who is adopted is one who is chosen. Chosen by the one that are the parents. And God himself has chosen us, has adopted us as sons, has made us into that blessed position of being his adopted sons. A little more explained to us in Romans chapter 8, we'll read these verses 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. What a position to be in. What a blessing. Adopted as sons of God, and have this relationship that we not only would say to our Heavenly Father that he is our Heavenly Father, but we can actually have this intimacy to say, Abba, Father, to call him a pet name, as it were, a daddy, a loved one. What a great privilege is ours to be in such a position. And it's for, and this is far beyond what anything I could understand, it's according to the pleasure of his will. He sees great joy in having me as an adopted son. Don't know why, but he does. So we trust him and thank him for it. And then, as you get down to verse 6, this one that referred to her this morning and referred to many times in the hymns, that we are accepted in the Beloved. What a position to be in. God sees my Savior, then he sees me in the Beloved. sees me in the Beloved, accepted and free. What a position to be in. Accepted of God. Not only adopted and not only chosen before the foundation of the world, but accepted. Accepted by the great God, the God who has provided all that we need. And it just keeps, as an old preacher used to say, it just keeps getting gooder and gooder. As you see down in verse 7, the redemption through his blood. I'll read again, read it this morning, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Redeemed. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child forever I am. What a blessed position that we are in. Redeemed. Bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can think of the situation in a that we may have seen pictures of or read about the slave market, and one who would be redeemed, who would be bought and then set free, not expecting to be bought to be a slave, but bought and then set free. And that's what's happened to believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed through His blood. What a great position to be in. And as we just keep going down, we'll see in verse 9, just read that verse, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to the good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. Here we have the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. What a blessing this is. What a blessing it is to live in the dispensation we do, where we have the complete canon of Scripture. Think of the Old Testament saints who had limited knowledge. Think of the early church who had just a little bit. And think of even parts of the world today where they hunger to get just a piece of paper that's the Word of God. And yet we have, most of us, many translations, many helps, but we have the Word of God, which is everything that we need to know about God, to know about God's purposes, God's will for us. It's said by some that 90% of the will of God for your individual life is written in these pages, in the 66 books of the Bible. It's there. The other 10% God reveals to us as we obey what He has given us. What a blessing we have to have the entire canon of Scripture at our fingertips, and to think how if we had a confession here tonight, how few hours, minutes we spend in God's Word. And yet, what a great gift it is. The gift of God's Word that is everything that we need, that God wanted us to have for rightful living, for as parents, how to be parents, as children, how to obey, as employers, how to treat employees, as employees, just everything that we need, and even how to behave in the house of God. And so the Holy Scriptures are a tremendous gift to us, one of the great blessings that we have. And there are even more. This, I guess, if I had to have a favorite, it would be this one that's found in verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in earth, in Him. That blessed hope, that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in John 14, I'd like to share something that borrowed from, again, Brother Roy Hill. In John 14, we have this great time when the Lord Jesus Christ was with His disciples, and He had told them about His upcoming death, and then He gave them this words of encouragement, and they are just that for us. But I'll read first three verses of John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The point that Roy brought out was that there are two main interpretations of this, I go to prepare a place for you. He, and I agree, deny the one, some say that when he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that's similar to the engagement. This was especially in the Mideast at about that time, where the bridegroom, after the formal marriage, they would separate. He would go prepare the home, actually build a home, start his career, get things ready so that he could go back, get his bride, bring her, and they would live, quote, happily ever after. Well, and many say, well, that's what Christ has done. He has gone up to heaven, and he's preparing heaven so it could be a dwelling place for us. And then many say, well, it only took him 6 days to create all that we know of the universe. And if he did that in 6 days, think what he can do in 2,000 years, or whatever it is. Well, God is not limited by time. So that part we can dismiss. It's a good thought to kick around, but I think we can dismiss that. Another interpretation is that when the Lord Jesus Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you, he then went to the cross. And his actions there on the cross were preparing a place for us. And that's that I've thought about before and agreed with. Roy had a little addition to that that I'd never heard before and I really appreciated it. That is that throughout Scripture, the New Testament, we read, and one of them is in, turn over to 1 Corinthians 6:19, a verse that I'm sure many of you have memorized and know. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Your body is a temple of the Holy, the Holy God. That God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within us. So what Roy was saying, when he said he was going to prepare a place for them, he was also going to prepare them for the place. Our bodies are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And to think of that, that what he's doing is not only preparing a physical place for us to go to dwell, but he's preparing us to fit in to that place. Sometimes it's been given the illustration of a stone wall, and what the masons have to do is chip away the stones until they perfectly fit together, and then that forms the wall or the house or whatever. And that's what God is doing. He's chipping away and he's making us perfect, the perfect bride. Something that I kind of enjoy doing is to try in my mind, and I haven't succeeded at all, but to get that picture of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in this verse that we're all fit together in one. Now we're all going to be individual. We're all going to be known as we're known here, and I don't understand that, but anyway, but we're all going to be one in the body of Christ. Just think, well, what part am I going to be? I'd like to be that ear that he's going to whisper those sweet nothings into, or I'd like the lips that would embrace him, or I would like to be the arms around him, or maybe I'll be the colon or the liver or some hidden part that run around in our minds, but think that we would be the bride, God himself, the bride of the Son of God, to be throughout the week. He has prepared us to be with him. I go to prepare a place for you, looking for that great time when we hear that shout, when we're called up together to enjoy him throughout all of eternity. However it'll be, we might not understand it, but however, whatever it will be great, be one that we will greatly enjoy throughout all of eternity. We get down to verse 11. It says, we have an inheritance, that we will be an heir of God. God, who owns everything, who all of the created universe is his. We're told in Isaiah 40 that he holds it all in the palm of his hand. All of this, if he has all of that, and we are heirs of God and joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ, what do we have to look forward to? Boy, you know, many times you think, boy, it'd be nice if I had a rich uncle and he would leave me some property or some money or a mansion or whatever. We have far greater than that. We have an heir. I mean, we are the heirs of God. Our, not rich uncle, but our Heavenly Father has for us far greater than anything that we could ever think about wanting here on earth. It will be great. Verse 12 tells us that we will be to the praise of his glory. Cannot at all comprehend that, but just read these familiar verses from just the next chapter over, Ephesians 2. Just reading verses 4, we'll read down through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, because his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before us, that we should be, that we should walk in them. Some have said it's like us being in the trophy case that God has. Trophy cases is where you put that which is valuable to you, and you want it displayed so that others can see it. This is far beyond what I could understand, but God's going to have me, as it were, in a trophy case so he can point to others and say, look what I won. He won it, not because anything I did. He won it there at Calvary when he died in my place. I will be on display as a trophy of God's grace. What a blessing, what a position to be in. And there's no end to all that we should have. Verses 13 and 14, one that we could spend the whole time on, and that is this guarantee that we have. We're as good as possessing all of these things. The illustration being that in a ship, and before the modern harbors, what they would do, the ship would stay out in the sea, but they would take the anchor cable, put it in a rowboat, row in between the rocks, get onto shore, and at that point, you were safely into the harbor because the boat was connected to the cable, the anchor was hooked with rocks or whatever it was to make it sure so that you could not. Even in the storms that come, the boat was safe. You were safely into the harbor, but you weren't there yet. And that's where we are tonight. We are there having all these blessings in Christ Jesus, but we're not quite there yet. We're safe, we're sealed, we're promised, we have it all, but we haven't quite realized it yet. But it's coming. It's coming soon, and what a glorious time that will be. I believe it was Jabe was saying recently that we have the Word of God that tells us that we are there, that we have all these possessions. So we can turn to God's Word. But some may say, well, I don't have the time and I'm not going to look at it. We still have it. God's Word tells us that we have it. And then we say, well, but, you know, I may not believe it or whatever. Well, if we are believers, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. God Himself dwelling within each of us. And so, not only do we have Scripture that tells us, we have the Holy Spirit within us that promises us, that tells us we're sealed with this Holy Spirit. And if that's not enough, we have the Lord Jesus Christ Himself sitting at the right hand of God as our go-between, as our liaison, as our one who is there praying for us, looking at us, having us on His mind, and the assurity. We have the written Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Lord Jesus Christ praying for us. And an illustration that was given quite a few years ago was, for instance, if in college you met a person, you became good friends with him, you found out later that he was the governor's son, and then he became your good friend. And so you have this good relationship with this young man, and then after you graduate, you have a problem with the property or something, and you want to go and get some help from the state government, and your friend says to you, well, come on, my father will help you out. You go in to his office, and sitting there is the governor and his son, and the son says, Dad, whatever he wants, you straighten out, because he is my friend, and I'm your son. And that's the position we're in. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is there in heaven saying, whatever, give it to them because I died for them, because I could call them my friends. What a God we have. What blessings we have. And it just continues on. There's in verses 18 and 19, we have what's sometimes called the 3-watt power, the power to know what is the hope of His calling, to know what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints, to know what is the power toward us who believe, according to the mighty power that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at the right hand in heavenly places. What benefits we have. There are more But we'll just kind of conclude with this thought, that these benefits that are ours, these benefits that, again, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, these make me, hopefully you, homesick for heaven, because although we're blessed with all these blessings now, it'll be even better when we're there with our loved one, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we trust that everyone here has these benefits. If not, don't leave without talking to one of us to make sure that you have these blessings, because they are just skimmed, as it were, a little cream off the top of all the blessings that we have throughout the scripture. If you ever get discouraged, and this was Jabe's recommendation to us, he said, just turn to any page in your Bible. Any page, you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ there. So I've been trying that lately. Sometimes you have to look a little hard, but it's there. He's there. He's there, and the Old Testament tells us in type, in picture, in many forms about Him, about His coming. And then the New Testament tells us about what He did for us in the Gospels, as we see that He died for me. And then in the epistles, we have the way we should act here on earth, act in the church, and the reminders of the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. They are so many. We won't take the time, because the time is up, but we could cap this off by singing, "It Is Well With My Soul." As we would think of our benefits, truly, it is well with our souls because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. So, if you're a believer, enjoy your benefits. Just keep looking over them and being encouraged, because someday you'll be in His presence and enjoy Him throughout all of eternity. Let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for all that we have in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. To think that we were chosen by You for no merit of us, but because of the greatness of Your love, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank You for Your many blessings. We especially thank You for the great gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we can call our beloved, the one who shall love us throughout all of eternity. We cannot understand, but we do appreciate the limited knowledge that we have, and we express to You thanks and praise and worship and honor and glory for the one who loved us and gave Himself for us, our Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Seek blessing upon the remainder of the evening, and for each one that You would bless, I hear. We do give our thanksgivings again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.